This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are. Whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Boom, here we go. News breaking that was unexpected. Anybody's telling me, oh, we saw this coming. No, you didn't. Come on. No, you didn't. Tina Smith, as Adam has been discussing, as Ari points out in his excellent newscast, puts out a video. This is it. She is not running for re-election. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dave Harrigan, Newstalk 830 WC. So I'm going to start with Tina first, Adam. What is her signature? When she leaves and people think, this is what Tina Smith did while she was in Senate. We get it with Klobuchar. Klobuchar is she seemingly is like the real attorney general of the state in the sense of, I'm going to be there.
Consumer protection.
I'm going to do, I'm going to make your life easier.
Yep.
The way some people view the attorney general, not the really technical legal way that the office of attorney general really is all about. She's going to be consumer friendly. She's going to be bipartisan. Yep. She's going to be in all the counties. She is going to be noticeable. Tina Smith comes in. She'd been a long time a part of politics, tied to Dayton. The Franken fiasco happens. She's appointed. She wins the special election. She beats Jason Lewis. I think she's been very behind the scenes, Adam.
Yep.
She hasn't been that comfortable if she gets pushed on questions. She clearly has been lockstep with the left of the party. I don't have a signature issue for Tina Smith. Do you?
I don't. And I say that as someone who isn't probably as glued to politics as you are. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's worked on agricultural issues and things of importance to certain aspects, but you're right. As far as, I mean, it's no comparison to Amy Klobuchar, but I mean, I'm trying to think of like Tina Smith's most memorable moment. And honestly, top of mind is her ridiculing Dean Phillips, right? I mean, other than that, and again, I'm not here to go over her entire, I don't know her entire record, so I'm sure there's been good efforts.
I would
made.
Like you to do that for the next six
all
hours.
Right, I'll be
have
back.
That record.
I'll be back at 6 p.m. breaking it all down.
Yeah,
it'll be in the political newsletter where, yes, I did speculate. Well, a little birdie tells me that Tina Smith is considering not running in 2026.
Yes, we're seeing that now. Her time going back to Planned Parenthood, her outspoken comments on the Dobbs decision, I guess, would be number one. But then didn't almost every Democrat say that? And you're right about Dean, and the truth is, I'll get to some Dean news here in a second. Walls and Klobuchar behind the scenes were saying the same things. Ken Martin was saying the same thing. By the way, the senators who they were around Joe Biden, they knew he wasn't up to the job. So that still should bug you. And certain individuals in Congress because Dean Phillips just told the truth. And I'm sorry, it's not like it should dominate your life, but all these folks have told us for years that Joe Biden is amazing behind the scenes. No, he wasn't. Dean Phillips, texting with him today. He's not inclined to talk locally until he's going to talk to us Monday. Either he's going to lead the show at 12:07 or he'll come on at 12:35, one of the two. When he tells me local, that wouldn't shock me if he's on a one of the weekend shows this weekend. Right. But he's not going to talk to anybody locally until he talks to us first on Monday. You know, he told us, he's told others that in 26, he wasn't going to run for governor or senator. Words matter, though, Adam. Mm-hmm. That when he puts out the tweet today, my intent is not to run, I think those words are worth watching.
Absolutely.
You know, I think Dean is a very intelligent person. He uses his words precisely,
yeah,
with intent. I think he will have to take the temperature and see what's going on. We'll get to
here's an example.
Peggy Flanagan and others. He doesn't have to jump in right now. No. It's February of 25. There are months and months and months to go. He wants this to build up an apparatus for the center right and center left to have a voice. Now, Adam, what does that do to him? If he's out there the next year with some vehicle, with some visibility, saying the center of this country needs to be heard, and then he comes back to Minnesota with a left-leaning nomination process, I don't even think he'd go to the nomination process myself. And I'm not even sure he'd run as I think he'd run as a Democrat. I'm about 90% convinced he'd run as a Democrat. I'd rather see him come back and run as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
And on the record, he's got my vote right now.
All plausible. And back to his statement, my intent is not to run. I finished dinner. My intent is not to eat a bowl of ice cream after I finish dinner. I mean, that's kind of the words.
yeah.
But no, you and the, which is what I was discussing, and you know this more than I would, is that how much do we bank on the craving, which you and I think are both part of this, to have somebody govern from the middle?
Thank God.
You know?
Please.
Right. And I often debate. It's like I used to feel like, boy, there's a lot of us, and I still hope there are. I still think that this state in particular, maybe not the country, but this state, there is fertile ground for somebody from the middle. And I think he would absolutely be that person.
I do. It's just the path.
The path,
getting
right,
there.
For nominations.
Getting
for sure.
On the ballot. The visibility. And then you're going up against the monster, the Democrats. The Democrats have the power. They have the money. They've won every statewide race 2010 on. I mean, Norm Coleman's the last senator. Tim Pawlenty's the last one to win a race. And that goes back to 06. And the Republicans should be frothing over the possibility of Dean Phillips running as an independent. If it's Peggy Flanagan, Dean Phillips, and let's go with this, Liz Collin, Republicans would love that chance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So let's get to this. You had a lot of texts. If you want to chime in again, this way. You get to select. You tell me who you want to replace Tina Smith in early January 2027. This individual is sworn in as the junior senator from Minnesota. Who is the individual you want most? 651-461-9226. And the item we'll start with, including your text, are we looking at a potential Tim Walz versus Peggy Flanagan race? We're back in moments on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Adam, I think we have an idea on the music bumper theme today, or did you already take this one earlier in the day?
Oh, stop.
Dave was very upset yesterday.
I know he was. I feel terrible about it.
You don't feel terrible at all.
I don't, but I just feel like I should say that. By the
How
way,
many people who say, yes. I feel terrible, really feel terrible?
Exactly. That being said, that was by the way, a little note there, that's Johnny Paycheck. Interestingly yeah. enough, not his real name.
Oh, no, really?
William Paycheck, I believe, yes, is his real name.
William H. Paycheck.
Paycheck, Paycheck, Paycheck was his name. All right, before we get to the text, we'll run through a bunch of these on your ideal candidate to be sworn in as the senator in 2027. I mean, could we potentially get a Walls versus Peggy Flanagan race for the DFL endorsement? Sign me up. Let's get the drama.
It's pointing that way. I mean, she's already said she seeks, and boy, sure
she's
seeks,
in.
Sounds like Tim Walls is certainly considering it.
Would Tim Walls rather be a senator than a third-term governor? What does your spidey sense tell you?
I think he'd rather be a senator.
Just because it's something new to do?
I think he feels his audience nationwide is, he's tapped into that national audience now. He feels he's got a voice there. And I think that, yes, he would.
Do you think he has a better chance to win the Senate seat than the governor's seat?
Hmm.
I don't know how to answer that one.
I don't either.
It's clear there's something going on between those two. If people tell me there's nothing, there's too many smart people who are reporting on this, and one very plugged-in person who, when it first popped up, said, yeah, absolutely, stuff's going on. I mean, what's the history of a governor and lieutenant governor running against each other for a Senate seat? This has to be unprecedented. It'd be good. Okay, let's run through a few, just like you did. Okay, do we think Flanagan can win? A texter says. If she gets the nomination, I think she can.
Yeah, I do too.
A lot of people talking about Dean. John Kreisel. Now, John was in it for just one Senate term?
I think he was a representative.
Was he? I forget now. I'm sure you're
maybe
right.
Maybe two non-consecutive terms, too. But I know for sure he was a representative.
Yep. John's a moderate. More moderates, the better. Limo, what do we think? I thought about texting Tafoya, but I figured I'd leave her alone.
Yeah.
Anybody who listened to her when she was here, and we did, right? You knew where Michelle stood on the political spectrum. But she did feel like, because of the NBC ties, that she had to pull back a little bit. She's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's her job. It's through her podcast, her appearances on Fox. She's obviously a tremendous communicator, has great name recognition. I think there will be a lot of Republicans in powerful positions who will pursue Michelle for either position. My gut tells me, knowing her for a long time, but not talking about this with her, I don't know if I ever talked about it with her, I think she might be more inclined for the governor's race if she jumps in.
Mm-hmm.
She likes her family and her life here.
Mm-hmm.
What about Jacob Fry? Would Jacob Fry jump in this race?
Or the other mayor, Melvin Carter.
Melvin Carter. Okay. I'll just get an update on the text. I had reached out to both Dean Phillips and communicated. And I reached out to another frequent guest, not quite as much, but Tim Pawlenty. And Tim just got back to me and said, can't make that work today. Sorry. Dave deals with Tim more than I. But I've had a chance to get to know Tim better the last couple of years. I'm about 97% certain he's not going to run. That he feels like he made his one attempt to jump back in when he ran against Jeff Johnson in the 18 race. And they held it against him because he had the audacity to tell the truth about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think his life's good. He's making money. He had a good run. He's enjoying what he's doing. I don't think he's jumping in. Do you?
My gut would say no, but, and I wonder about his age. But he's still, 64, and that's not old.
Very healthy.
Yep.
The mayor, Joe Soucheray. better chance. You play for the Wolves tonight. DeRusha, I'm assuming it's a radio bit coming. Don't you?
I think there's fertile ground there. That's the second time I've used fertile ground in the last two segments. I don't know where that's come from, but
maybe that's tonight. Is there fertile ground tonight?
There's ample opportunity for a radio bit to make it happen.
Oh, yeah. He for sure could do it. This is an interesting one. What about newly named Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth jumping into the Senate race? Donald would rather have him attempt to win the Senate seat and then find another completely loyal individual to run the Senate, right? And if you get Minnesota, you get another Senate seat?
Yeah.
The Trump factor in this and who is he going to push for the Republicans is interesting. R.T. Ryback. I think R.T. feels like he had his time. That's my gut. Don't you?
Yeah, I don't feel like there's been a lot of motivation to get back into at least elected politics.
What's our guess on R.T.? R.T.'s got to be in his mid-60s too, right?
69.
Mm, yeah.
69. He's not. No, he's not jumping in. I heard you say it, and I'm with you on Emmer now. Emmer's the whip.
Yeah.
I mean, he is right there. It's Mike Johnson, it's Steve Scalise, and it's Tom Emmer. And who knows what Donald decides tomorrow about Mike Johnson.
Right.
Tom Emmer could be Speaker of the House by Monday.
Yeah, the rules now, it's like you can vacate, baby.
Go fast. They did switch that.
Okay.
It's not the one person anymore. But that doesn't mean Donald
right.
can't play a part.
Depends
now,
who the
Stauber,
one person is, right.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Stauber, I felt all along, was going to run against Walz, and I'm still inclined to say that. Is Stauber more inclined to go for the Senate seat?
I don't know. I was rather surprised, too, in that Star Tribune article yesterday saying that he was not interested in running for governor.
That's just what they're saying.
Yeah.
I think. What about, the funny thing is I was thinking about reaching. Yesterday I almost texted you, Herrick, and I was thinking about reaching out to this guy. Matt Burke?
Mm. Yeah, see.
Haven't talked to Matt in a while. I would not eliminate Burke jumping in for either race. And a lot of people, because it's our station, suggesting this time for Corey, our guy Hepla, to jump back in the race. I think he had his time.
Yeah.
How about your friend Karen Housley?
Karen Housley. She's still.
I could see that. Couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I'm assuming you have another dentist appointment this afternoon.
Not today. Not today, Satan.
How did that go?
Actually, I postponed it. So. I was scared. I couldn't. Didn't have it in my mental capacity.
Oh, you did.
I did. Yeah, I had to postpone it. It was an emergency that I couldn't make.
Is everything okay?
Oh yeah. It's just couldn't do it.
Dave, he's very hush hush right now.
Hush hush down the QT. Just a scheduling conflict I wasn't aware of at the time.
Fertile ground.
Yeah. There'll be ample
opportunity to revisit the dentist's office.
651-461-9226. Wrong answers only. Why did Adam Carter cancel his dentist appointment? Wrong answers only. 651-461-9226. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Yep, thanks.
Adam, out of here. Check out the podcast, The Adam and Giordano Show. Gas prices with our frequent guest and the always informative Patrick DeHaan from Gas Buddy. DeHaan next. Right to our frequent guest, Patrick DeHaan. He is as informative as anybody out there in the States on oil, on gas prices, on what is legit, what is not, what is overhyped, what is underhyped. Just facts. What a novel concept. You can follow Patrick at GasBuddyGuy, at GasBuddyGuy on the Twitter machine. Patrick, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Patrick, the state of gas prices in America is?
Well, at least for now, we are starting to get into the warmer weather, at least, well, not a whole lot, maybe in Minnesota, but we're getting closer to the switch over to summer gasoline, which does start in just a couple weeks' time. Oil prices have come down, but there have been a couple low-level refinery snags. Those are mainly on the West Coast. For now, gas prices in the Twin Cities, well, they're teetering up just a little bit in the last week, up about 2 cents. Boy, I'm glad I'm not in California. San Francisco's average up 48 cents a gallon in the last week. That's because of refinery issues, and they are the first state to start making the transition to summer gasoline. But that may be a taste of what could be coming over the next several weeks as we get closer to warmer weather here in the Twin Cities.
Okay. And it's going to be a while for warmer weather in the Twin Cities, sadly. But when that transition happens, how much of a jump are we looking at in the state?
Well, between, we'll say now, this is usually right about the time that we start to see the changeover happening. So between now and we'll say 8 weeks from now, mid-April, which is usually about the time prices peak, average prices will likely go up anywhere from 20 to 65 cents a gallon. They could go up a little bit more or less than that, just depending on how refinery maintenance season proceeds. That's usually something that also starts here as temperatures start to break. So refineries will do maintenance. The transition to summer gasoline starts. Demand will start going up. And that's usually what starts the domino effect of rising gas prices here as we get towards the end of February and all of March and into early April.
And again, this happens every year. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump's the president or Patrick DeHaan is the president. So when this goes up, if Democrats want to say, hey, Donald Trump, you told me this, there may be other factors, but this has to be baked in every single year, and people should remember that.
Exactly right. It's like going to a stadium where everybody's got one of those foam hands, right? Everyone's going to be pointing fingers. One party's going to, a lot of words are going to fly. Very few of them are going to be accurate because, to your point, this does happen every year. The exception, of course, was COVID when, you know, millions of Americans were losing jobs and when we were losing loved ones. So that's the exception. When there is economic duress, that may not happen. But almost every other year, gas prices go up in the spring. Not only that, but they go down in the fall. And it's not an election conspiracy. It's just supply and demand.
I'm looking at GasBuddyGuy right now on Twitter, at GasBuddyGuy. That's Patrick DeHaan. I love how he says, fact checker, myth buster, opinions are my own. We're incredibly early into the Trump administration. And yeah, you've counseled me over and over again how, yeah, presidents can play a part, but so much is really out of the president's control. When you look at the frenzy of activity that Trump offers up by the second, has that played any part in what's happened to gas prices so far?
Well, I can't completely eliminate that there's zero impact, but it's almost as close to zero. There's been a lot of noise. There's been a lot of drama to keep track of, but none of it's come to fruition yet. The threat of tariffs has not been implemented, at least on energy from Canada and Mexico. That would be the one that would be very significant, as we've talked about before. But so far, everything, you know, for as much as there is to dissect about what's happening, none of it's having a significant material impact. But like I said, the seasonality is going to be what has a significant impact if the tariffs do come into play in roughly 3 weeks, right, because they are technically on pause. If the tariffs do come into play, they're likely going to play a secondary role, not a primary role, in influencing gas prices, because the seasonal forces are just so strong that it would still be the seasonal forces that are primarily leading gas prices up. At that point, it could be that the tariffs add a little bit onto the top, but it's still going to be the seasonal forces that are dominating the trend.
Okay, if that does happen, and you know, we've witnessed this in the first term and even early in the second term where it's tariff talk, and then, wait, we got a deal, and sometimes it's a deal announcing something that already happened months before. But if the tariffs happen, how quickly would that play the secondary role you just talked about?
Well, probably within a few days of when everything was finalized. And I'm going to say that because, you know, there's been a lot of talk. We've been, what, a day away from them being implemented, but they haven't been implemented. So once the tariffs are signed, they're official, give it probably 72 hours from then, and then we'll start to see an impact depending on when they're signed. I mean, if they're signed on a Friday afternoon for whatever reason, well, energy markets aren't open over the weekend. So it would take a few extra days for them to assess exactly what happens, but it should be fairly quick.
This is Patrick DeHaan. He's outstanding on gas prices and oil and what's going on, what's the reality, and then what role, if any, politics play. I was looking at your tweets the last couple of days, including about what's going on in California with these crazy prices, and you talked about the number of refineries California had years ago compared to now, and we've had that conversation before, so let's go to the Midwest. Let's go to primarily Minnesota, where the overwhelming number of people are listening. How are we doing with refineries in our area, and what's the likelihood we will get more refineries to match the population, the demand, and try to play a stronger part in what's taking place to slow this down when they are going up, when the prices are going up?
Well, I'll say, you know, probably on the radar of many folks in the Twin Cities was what, back in 2018 or 19, when that Superior refinery caught fire, the Husky refinery in Wisconsin. We're, you know, I wouldn't say lucky that that's been rebuilt, but that is certainly an asset now that that refinery was rebuilt. By the way, another one in 2019 burned down in Philadelphia. That one was permanently dismantled, and it's still having an impact. The lack of that refinery is having an impact. So, you know, refineries aren't impactful until they are. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but you'll remember what, 3 years ago, was it September of 2023, when prices in the Twin Cities virtually skyrocketed overnight because refineries suddenly became an issue. There was a little bit too little summer gasoline left to make it through the rest of the year. And then you'll remember prices, I think, went up like 50 cents to a dollar a gallon in almost 2 weeks. So, you know, refineries are out of sight, out of mind. The Midwest has ample refining capacity. It's good that they rebuilt that refinery in Superior, Wisconsin. Thankfully, I think there's a bit more breathing room in areas of the Midwest. Even after that severe weather that rode through Chicago last summer, it didn't cause much of a blip. And that is because there's a little bit of breathing room. Not a ton. We're probably not going to see any new refineries built either, because it's a huge risk. If the next administration doesn't see eye to eye on environmental regulations like Trump did, they're going to reverse them. Mm-hmm. A lot of politics have become about this back and forth. It's nauseating. We're going to rip these rules off. And so, you know, it's a risk to a business to build in an environment where you're very uncertain. The refinery, if you build one today, it's not going to be done for 5 years. So that's the complicating factors. You're having to make future predictions. And by the way, the EV transition is not exactly giving oil companies or oil refiners a lot of certainty. You know, you don't really want to build a refinery when certain politicians and maybe the way the country is going to change significantly in the next couple of years. And that's why we're probably not going to see any new refineries, at least significant refineries, built anytime soon in the U.S.
Patrick, thank you. Always appreciate it. We'll, you know, we'll reach out again.
My pleasure. Appreciate it.
At Gas Buddy Guy. It's Dave, he's one of our top guests in talking about, as he says on Twitter, myths, especially politically, what is happening and what effect politicians are really having, you know, and like they're on refineries from 5 years and this increase of 20 to 65 cents and tariffs, what part? Well, again, Patrick saying a secondary role. And again, much more of the transition from winter to summer gas. So we're always fortunate when we have Patrick on the show. We stumbled into something, though, on Adam and very elusive. Didn't you think he was very elusive, very evasive?
Yes, he did
on why
not want
he canceled that dentist appointment.
Did not want to dive into it. Very, very. I could see him twitching a little bit. His eye was just kind of, you know, eyelid just kind of up, down.
I could feel the sweat even here.
Yeah.
Wrong answers only. Why did Adam Carter cancel his dentist appointment yesterday? 651-461-9226. And what prominent politician, in, while we were a part of the DeHaan interview, said, no, 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 I am not running for the Senate seat. We'll tell you that right when we come back. Melvin Carter, the mayor of St. Paul, discussed on the Adam Show, discussed on Dumber here. He's not running. Tory, Tuesdays with Tory, says, Melvin Carter, perfectly content where he's at. We've already talked early in the show, and I get people jump in early and late, how Peggy Flanagan, I mean, Tina Smith's body wasn't even dead yet. By the way, she's alive. She's alive. She's alive. She's alive. Her political body, she's not running for re-election. Again, she's fine. She's healthy. It was a political expression. Where's Jesse now, Dave? Joke. Peggy Flanagan's in. Sources saying Tim Walz is giving deep consideration. How about Ilhan from the Star Tribune? She's received calls and texts encouraging her to run. And we'll be talking with Minnesotans about the future of the Senate seat in DFO party in Minnesota. How many calls and texts do you have to get before you say, if you're a public figure, I'm receiving calls and texts, Dave Harrigan?
I think all you have to do is think about receiving calls and texts. That's good enough.
Yes. I'm sure she did in this case. Now, when we're talking about somebody in the center, and this show obviously talks a lot about Dean Smith. I did the same thing as Adam. I heard Adam say Dean Smith earlier. Now, I'll tell you what. If Dean Smith runs for this seat, we got a scoop because he's not with us, and he's never lived in Minnesota. It'd be a heck of a story. We probably – right now, Google, do we have a Dean Smith who lives in Minnesota? But Dean Phillips. And Dean will talk to the local media first on this show on Monday, which makes me think he's got another national appearance on one of the Sunday shows. Angie Craig said in a statement that Smith's leadership in the Senate will be missed. She's a true public service, focused every day on moving Minnesota forward. I look forward to continuing to work with Tina and make life better, and I thank her for her service to our state. That was a non-answer to whether she's running. What if we just get a complete Donnybrook on both sides?
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. Because open Senate seats, they just don't happen very often.
No, they absolutely don't. And, I mean, what's Royce White thinking now? He was already saying he's in, right? He was going to challenge Tina.
Yeah. Royce, I like your chances the same today as I liked him yesterday. You're just going to have you're going to have more competition, but your chances of winning are about the same. Text, I'm beginning to think your paychecks come from the DFL because I listed Democrats who were quoted in the Star Tribune.
Yeah.
And then earlier we spent most of the second segment almost only talking about Republicans. I'm beginning to think you don't listen very well. This texter, as a political unknown, I'm going to announce my candidacy for the U.S. Senate, Minnesota. I'm ready to join your show to discuss my candidacy. Why not? Who would be the, on the celebrity factor we talked about, Tafoya, Liz Collins. Both skilled communicators. Tafoya more with a national play, Liz and Alpha News within Republican circles. And really, I think they're well past just Republican circles. They are very influential. They both would bring celebrity, and it wouldn't be unexpected politics, you know, where they stood. Well, we get somebody from the TV said, well, DeRusha's going to, I'm on the record as a radio bit, he's going to do it. Are you on the record that he's going to do it?
To be different, I'm going to say no. He's going to play this one straight. He's going to announce today he is not running, or not seeking anyway, not intending to run for the U.S. Senate.
Yes. On Adam Carter and why Adam canceled. Why did he cancel his dentist appointment, and why wouldn't he talk about it? Among the texts coming in, Adam canceled his appointment because he's filing for governor and senator at the same time.
Wow, that's a scoop.
That would be good. Adam canceled his appointment because all along it was just a cover for his date with guess who? Charo.
Gucci Gucci.
Adam canceled his dentist appointment when he learned the chesty hygienist was on vacation. Can we say chesty hygienist?
I believe you just did twice.
Yep. Adam canceled his dentist appointment because he got a call from Elon Musk. Musk wants him to supervise his high school and college kids that are going through the federal financial records. He'd leave us in a second for that gig, right?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Adam had to brush up on his dance judge skills. Well, he'd be about as detached with this one as he was when he was the moderator for Jimmy Francis and the mayoral date in South St. Paul.
Well, it's possible instead of judging, maybe he's applying with Target Center to work security for the dance.
Yes.
He's got experience.
Adam had a tee time. Strip club. Kind of tough if you're on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, they still got the hot dog bar, I'm sure.
You had to do the strip club? Yeah. My guy, candidate for coach of the year, J.B. Bickerstaff, tried to convince me that the food at Cheeks, the buffet, was excellent.
Is he wrong? Who knows?
I did visit Cheeks decades ago. I don't remember saying, hey, I'm hungry.
Oh, you missed out.
I was the salad bar over here. I don't think I did that. Jim Peterson next hour on an inept Wolves performance last night and then facing the best team in the league. And back to politics, our guy Hauser. But first, CBS and Ari next.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.